Alrighty, this was definitely an excellent reading in the 11th hour again. I started one earlier, I had my friend Nathan up from Christchurch. He's a best man at one other friend's wedding, and we had all talking about a few ideas, and he's like, oh, I gave a talk not long ago, blah blah blah. I was like, alright, let's have a look. Started working on that, and I ran out of fizz for that one, so I started another one. So I've got a second one halfway done, and my backup one became a main one. So when Brother Lionel asked any readings or hymns, I was like, I'm not even sure my topic just yet. So I was going to do a two-for-one type thing, but then I just decided to keep it just to a short exhort instead. So Mum called, and she's like, oh, what's your exhort going to be on? And that's when I decided which one of the two I was actually going to do. So this one is just walking in truth. I can't remember what triggered it. I think I was looking for some inspiration, and I read one of Chris Maddox's exhorts a while ago, and I put it on my to look at again list. I've got a folder on my computer with a whole bunch of inspiration. And then I also looked, I just touched on a few people that, just from my memory, rather than really looking into the Bible, when I heard walking in truth, I just thought, oh, Enoch. And I looked at that, I was like, oh, I can't really find much to talk about Enoch. And then Noah and Abraham, so I was like, okay, I'll chuck them in too. So now you've already had an overview of my whole exhort. 2 John 1, verse 4-6. I rejoice greatly to find some of you children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that is to love one another. In this love that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. The emphasis then is to do with our walk in life. We must be found walking in truth, walking on our spiritual journey towards the kingdom. I found so many metaphors for walking in the Bible, but I decided to not go down that rabbit hole. Walking in truth requires a conscious decision to align our thoughts, words, and actions with God's perfect and unchanging truth. So I'm going to a little scratch the surface, not really a deep dive, explore together into some of the significant and practical implications of this truth in our daily lives. And I've had a debate with someone from Tawa a long time ago, but it always stuck in my mind because we agreed to disagree at the end of it. Because he said truth about 50 times in one conversation. I was like, oh, what truth? So before we go further, I'm a guy, that's a truth. It's a conversation I've had with some students recently. Some people claim that I'm just along a continuum of between male and female, and that gender's not a truth, but that's a discussion for another time. So what truth am I on about? 1 Timothy 3:15-16. Oh yeah, that's right. You may know how one ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness, manifest in the flesh, vindicated by spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Jesus 14:16 proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God's truth is not just a concept. For us, it is a person. That person is Christ. As a follower of Christ, we are called to reflect his character and walk in his truth. But we have to keep our minds sharp and have ears that hear, as there are many, many, many false truths being spread. Some intentionally, some people share their truths, believing they are sharing the truth. earnestly sharing that truth. Some of these are worldly truths that appeal to human nature, and some of them are biblical truths that are just slightly misguided. In our world today, there are many counterfeit truths that seek to deceive us and distract us from God's path. Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 4:11 that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. False teachings, cultural relativism, personal biases can all cloud our understanding of the truth. It is crucial for us to be discerning and rooted in the Word of God, allowing it to be a filter through which we evaluate all the ideas and philosophies that are presented before us. So, some exhorts you guys have probably picked up, I have a habit of putting things in lists. So I've got a very short list today. It's got 3 points. To walk in the truth, we must cultivate 3 essential qualities in our lives: a love for the truth, a hunger for the truth, and a commitment to truth. So, point A, a love for the truth. Psalms 119, 29 to 36. Put false ways far from me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness and set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. He teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I'll keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Developing a deep love for God's truth is vital. It begins by immersing ourselves in the Word of God daily and seeking to understand it, His heart and His ways. As we grow in love for truth, we will naturally desire to align with it in our lives. Point B, hunger for the truth. Proverbs 2:1-5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This passage encourages us to cry out for understanding and search for wisdom as for hidden treasures. We must develop an insatiable hunger for truth, actively seeking God's guidance and revelation. This hunger can be nurtured through prayer, studying, and engaging in fellowship. And point C, which is not the end of the exhort, sorry for some. Hope you're enjoying it. Commitment to the truth. James 1:22, remind us not to be mere hearers of the word, but doers. It is not enough to know the truth. We must live it daily in our lives. Walking in truth requires commitment to obey God's commands, even when it is difficult or goes against popular opinion. Our commitment to truth should be unwavering, regardless of the circumstances. If you're thinking, oh, that's it, yeah, 3 simple qualities. Keeps it simple, but as I know, a diet is relatively simple. Don't put food that you don't need in your mouth. But when someone brings out a custard square, it becomes much, much more difficult. Well, for me anyway. And so I have a little bit more for you to ponder on. It's said earlier, as followers of Christ, we are called to reflect His character and walk in His truth. Now, as I was doing this exhort, I got distracted and procrastinated, which is why I finished at 11:37 without proofreading it. I stumbled upon an app/website called sync.bible. I was like, oh, this is cool, so I was trying it out. And I typed in walked into that as well to see if anyone else came up they hadn't thought of. And the first 3 popped up, was obviously Enoch again, which I'd already thought of, and then Noah. And then Abraham. So I decided to just do a little not case study, but revision of them. Enoch walked with God after he had fathered Methuselah 300 years. And I don't think it means they went for a stroll continuously for 300 years. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, Genesis 6:9. And so we have a bit more information on Noah. This is easier for me to expand. Noah, being a preacher of righteousness, warned of coming judgments. And building of the ark was a physical outworking of his faith, of his walk. By contrast to the world at large, which was only worthy of death and destruction, Noah walked with God and built the ark to save his house. Hebrews 11 has a bit to say on Noah's faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, by righteousness which is by faith. His building was not only for a saving of his house only, true, it was definitely a keen motivator for him to get into gear and get cracking. But it was also associated with the condemnation of the world. The building of the ark was a very in-your-face sign of Noah's belief, walk, and expectation for a flood to come. And the world's rejection of that sign brought condemnation upon themselves. And Abraham, Genesis 17:1. Abraham was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." Notice again, the scripture emphasized Abraham's walk in life. It was to be before God, and the implication was it was to be in the way of righteousness. In each of these examples, individuals are portrayed as being on a journey, and they were not alone. For each were yet led by Yahweh, and so walked with God. The prophet Amos spoke on this aspect. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The implication is that walking with God, these men were agreed with him and he with them. They were his sons by faith and walked together with him to guide, guard, and encourage them on their journey to the inheritance of his providing. When we consider examples of faithfulness, men who walked in truth, we think more particularly than anyone else is Jesus as well. As a seed of Abraham, he had gone before us and laid down footprints for us to follow. Just had to do a quote of that because it was Nana's favourite quote. It is written, 1 John 2:6, whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And again, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and neither was deceit found in his mouth. The steps of Jesus take us through tribulation into glory. Christ gave us an example of suffering for righteousness' sake. And although his heel was smitten and his walk in life was interrupted for 3 days and 3 nights, he rose again to life eternal. Between him and his Father, there was perfect harmony. They walked together in agreement, united in love and one in mind. When we look to the Father and Son, we can see the unity that we should strive to walk. Even as Christ prayed, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Let us walk in light even as he is in the light, that we might be one of the Messiah, walking in the steps of those examples written in the Bible for us to learn from and to follow their examples, at that time appointed, we will reach our destination and we will take up our inheritance with them. Walking in truth is not easy, but is as essential for our spiritual growth and witness to the world. As we cultivate a love for truth, hunger for truth, and commitment for truth, we will find ourselves walking in greater alignment with God's purpose. Let us be known for people as people as unwavering and for our devotion to the truth and our willingness to stand firm in the world that often compromises it. May God grant us the grace and strength to walk in the truth and become a beacon of light in a world desperate for the truth that set us free.